Have you ever wondered how the quest for love can sometimes quickly turn into a spectacle? In a world where reality TV and viral shows turn deep emotions into a game, how do we hold on to the true essence of vulnerability and connection that God intended for us to have?
Yeah. Say what they want, go where they don't. I'm never alone, 'cause I ride with the reference, healthy and whole. Relationship goals, it's good for the soul. Get ready, let's go, go. Come right in your seat when you need a release. It's a beautiful thing, marriage and unity. So let's ride, let's ride.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Riding with the Radfords, the podcast for covenant couples and those who want to be. I am one of your hosts, Pastor Jay.
And I'm First Lady Al.
What's up, baby? How you doing?
Hey, now.
You're looking good over there.
So are you.
I'll show you what you're red on.
Oh,
yes.
That
red
house. You went there. I can't believe you.
Oh, my. You're looking good, though. Seriously.
You're looking good.
Today, we're talking primarily to those still on the dating scene. Those, when we say in our introduction, those who want to be. Mm-hmm. We're talking to those who are still in the throes of dating, still trying to know that person who might or might not be their covenant partner.
Oh, my.
We're talking about vulnerability in dating. Now, I know it's been a minute since we are officially, even though we are technically still dating.
Yes, we are.
But the transition, the official moniker, mm-hmm. when we were just dating, there was a level of vulnerability that we had to navigate through. I think things are different now for people today who are in the dating scene, particularly in the context of modern media's portrayal mm-hmm. of courtship and dating and marriage. Mm-hmm. I want to focus right in on a show that just got under my skin. I mean, I know they probably mean well, but I got problems with it.
So basically, that's how we got here.
That's how we got here. and the show we're talking about, for those who may or may not know, it's a YouTube show. It's called Pop the Balloon or Find Love. Mm-hmm. And that's what got us here. I was looking at it. I'm always thinking about my son, my daughter, and then what they're going to have to face as people who are looking for, will one day be looking for their covenant partner. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at shows like this. And so Pop the Balloon, for those who do or don't know, it's a show that epitomizes how relationships are often sensationalized for entertainment. Mm-hmm. While it captures viewers' attention, it captured mine. Mm-hmm. I was drawn into it, but then I was like, what?
Yeah, then you got in your feelings.
I got in my feelings. This show oversimplifies the complex decisions involved in building and sustaining relationships. Mm-hmm. The format where decisions about love are made instantly undermines the slow, deliberate process of nurturing trust and understanding that real life relationships require. They try to cram what takes a long time. It takes time to develop. They try to cram it into, 23 minutes and 4 commercials. Mm-hmm. And it got under my skin. I mean, I'm watching this show. I'm watching this. And I don't want to give it too much publicity, but I'm watching this show. And the concept is there are 10 people who are holding balloons. And if you come and you're coming in, they're judging you and they're popping their balloons.
Oh, it was terrible.
Oh my gosh.
I'm watching this lineup of women. And the brother that walked out, he didn't have a chance, y'all. The boy, the man, all he said was his name.
He didn't even come into the frame. He didn't even come into the frame of the camera, and it was pop, 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 pop. Oh my my like
popcorn.
Gosh. I'm like, oh my.
I felt crushed.
I hurt for him.
Me too.
I hurt for him. I mean, it was like,
yes.
Like, seriously. Are y'all for real? It's so wild. And so that got us here. And it's talking about the vulnerability. How vulnerable. Done that. We're gonna probably mess up that word several times. Mm-hmm. But how vulnerable do you need to be in dating, and when?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I wanted us to talk about today in episode 25.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what we have to do is really define what vulnerability is, because being vulnerable in a relationship, you'll feel exposed.
Yeah.
You'll feel exposed. And so, you know, I had made some notes about it, and it involves opening up to another person, showing your true self with all its imperfections, your aspirations. I mean, you are basically wide open, and that can be a scary place for a lot of people to be. It's about building trust through honesty and authenticity, and it isn't about revealing everything all at once. Yeah. I think people think, oh, date one, I'm supposed to be like, plat out. I'm going to share all my childhood trauma and everything, you know, with this person. No, we're not talking about out the gate sharing everything about yourself. But as this relationship progresses and you start to see that this is possibly a person that I could spend the rest of my life with, you owe it to the relationship to be honest and open and vulnerable.
Yeah.
And as I said, that can be a very scary place. But, you know, I just think about a lot of the people that, you know, we minister to, we talk to on a regular basis. And a lot of them are very fearful of that aspect mm-hmm. of being in a relationship, especially at a later stage in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think about when we were courting.
Okay.
And that moment where I knew I was exposed. Because, I mean, really, it's exposure. It's a mm-hmm. level of being, you know, naked, feeling naked.
Intimacy.
It's a real revealing moment or unveiling moment when you become vulnerable. And I remember that moment. We were at my grandmother's house.
Oh my gosh.
And
I'm surprised I'm still here.
And you said we had been dating. It was a couple of years?
Years, yeah.
It was a couple of years. We've been dating. And by the way, we dated almost
6 years.
6 years.
Yeah.
6 years.
From our senior year in high school.
To graduation.
To graduation from college.
And so we've been dating, it's about 2.5, maybe mm-hmm, 3 years.
Mm-hmm. It's been a minute.
And you said, I was getting something from my grandparents, and you said something. You told me where something was. And I said, how'd you know? She said, because I know you. And it wasn't mean. It wasn't malicious.
Please hear me when I say I was not being mean. It was a casual comment. I said, because I know you.
Man,
my God.
My response was because in that moment, I was fearful because I'm like, she's cracked the code.
And had. No, I'm just kidding.
yeah, you had. You and I was scared. It scared me.
Yeah.
It initially scared me. Like, she has seen behind the veil.
Yeah.
She is and it was exposed. And she did. She knew me. But it makes sense though. You've been around me long enough that you began to pick up my patterns, my habits, right. All those things.
That sounds like I'm a stalker, but that's not picking up patterns.
Yeah, she was outside my window.
Casing the joint. No, but it really, it was that. And I felt like I was trying to say that you had become predictable in some ways because I understood your thought processes with certain things. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I get it now. But in that moment, I mean, my heart was beating out of my chest. Like,
wait a minute. Hold on.
And I said, okay, let me tell you what I said. I'm beating around the bush. She said, I know you. And I said, you don't know me. I mean, you don't know me. Did I scare you?
Yes. And honestly, if you could imagine what he sounded like, it's the opposite of the ghetto boys. You know, I make big money. I drive big because everybody know me. So you were like, you don't know me. And I think you were holding a basket or something. Yes. And you like threw it down on the ground.
I threw it down. It was dramatic.
I was like, what in the world?
And I that's all I had. Because
whoa there, buddy.
At that moment, I was so exposed. I was so naked. Because you did. I was like, I was nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. I couldn't like pretend, hide behind nothing. I was out in the open.
Mm-hmm. That was a defining moment for our relationship.
That was vulnerability. And it was that evening I had to come, because I was shook. I was visibly shook. I mean, I had girlfriends here and there, but nobody had cracked that code. Nobody had gone, or I'd say like this, I had not allowed myself to be that vulnerable with anybody else.
Right. But you had at some level, because the other part of the defining vulnerability is about the fact that it's gradual.
Yeah.
And so over a 2-year span, 2.5 years, gradually you're revealing more of yourself to me. You're revealing more of yourself to me. And so at this point, when you made a statement, I felt like I knew it, because you had exposed enough of that part of yourself to me so that I was comfortable saying that to you. But it was a surprise to you. It wasn't a surprise to me that I had gotten to that place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was a surprise to you, which is why I caught you off guard.
That exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so in today's modern context, I'm thinking about my son. You know, he's going, you know, our son. Mm-hmm. He dates occasionally, and you know, he's always talking about, well, I don't have enough bread. I'm trying to, you know, I got enough bread. I need to take her here. I need to, you know, and the expectations are so high. Mm-hmm. And then they want they want the married experience. They want the married feel, but don't want the risk of the covenant that's required. Mm-hmm. Is that making sense?
Right. Not him.
But that's the expectation is that.
Yes.
I want husband level treatment from you, and I'm just meeting you for the first time. Mm-hmm. I want wife level treatment from you, and we've only dated twice.
Right.
And so your demand, if I buy into that, it forces me to be vulnerable before I'm ready, or before the relationship calls for it.
Or it forces me to lie.
Or lie.
Because I think that type of pressure puts men in particular, I mean, I guess it could be flipped to women, honestly, but I think it puts them in a position to where they end up not being vulnerable, being guarded, because they are afraid to be back to pop the balloon. You know, a brother coming out talking about he's a chef, or, you know, has a reputable job.
One of the dudes had just graduated law school.
Correct.
Had just graduated law school, had a brand, was trying to promote a brand, mm-hmm. that was giving back to his community. Pop.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Right, because they looking at baddies and all these other things, and they want to be, you know, they want to have somebody that's going to come to the table immediately. And I'm like, you're 22 years old. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Exactly.
Now exactly. I'm getting my feelings.
So you see what I'm going through? You feel my pain?
And I have to tell y'all, I don't look at balloons the same now. I was in the Dollar Tree the other day, and I was looking at they selling the balloons up there. I got mad.
So what is the Christian perspective on all of this?
Well, I think one of the pieces that we need to look at, and this would probably be a point that I would share, is we have to watch what we're eating. Mm. You got to watch what you eat. And I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about spiritual food, because we as a culture are drawn to negativity. You heard me just mention baddies, you know? So it's like, what are we watching on television, on YouTube? This media that we're consuming is defining our perspectives on what a relationship should be. And people can say, oh, no, no, I'm just being entertained. I don't really buy into it. But subconsciously, that is what you're paying attention to. You just think about Risa Tisa or Insecure and just all of these different shows, Grown-ish and stuff. And we become, I mean, we binge watch it. It becomes, you know, a part of our world. We're DVRing these things. And then we watch it and watch it and watch it. And so now this becomes the standard.
You've heard me say it before. Whatever we feed the most.
Yes.
That's going to win.
That's what's going to win.
Whatever we feed the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was saying, you know, you got to watch what you eat, but we're eating what we watch. You know, we're eating it and eating it, and then it becomes who we are. And so now these demands, back to my point with you about when men may feel like I can't be vulnerable, so I'm going to lie. You know, this whole trend that was going on for a good while about the Cheesecake Factory, that, again, the brothers on this show, they're coming with respectable jobs, making a living, doing the best they can on the level that they're on. We define that as excellence in our ministry. And it's not good enough. You know, so now that it's not good enough, I'm going to create a facade of what I think you want so that you'll like me.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So now I can't really be vulnerable because if I expose myself, remember we saw it was somebody and the guy shed a tear about something and the girl was like, I don't want no man that cries.
Yes. Yes.
That was a vulnerable spot. She didn't want the man to be vulnerable.
Wow.
You remember that?
I remember that. I do. I definitely remember that. That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's very crazy. And so that's the kind of stuff that makes me mad. And, you know, if we're watching these shows, and I'm not saying that we have to watch Christian documentaries all the time and, you know, everything is Jesus on the main line type thing. We like being entertained. You know, we like comedy and things like that. But when we take it in and now we're comparing it to what true reality is. Now, they call these reality TV shows. The Bachelor and all this kind of stuff is not your reality.
No.
You are not sitting up in a mansion running through 10 men.
With a rose. Waiting for
that is not your everyday life. But yet that's the water cooler conversation. That is what's defining, you know, especially the young minds of people that we talk to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a dangerous place to be. Back in the day it used to be soap operas and things like that, you know, that you lived in this fantasy life. But this right here is making it super hard for people in the dating game who really want authentic relationship, who really want to be able to share more of themselves, but they can't out of fear of rejection, of not being taken, you know, seriously, or being, you know, cast aside as, you know, it doesn't make sense to me.
So you're saying watch what you eat. And so I would follow up with that with know when to be vulnerable.
Yeah. There's the balance.
Watch what you eat and then know when. We're not saying don't be vulnerable.
Right.
There will come a time when you will have to be vulnerable. Well, vulnerability is necessary for the next step. Excuse me. So knowing when to be vulnerable, it starts by setting clear boundaries. That would be number one. And then you communicate. Again, that communication piece, you're communicating openly about your needs and expectations.
Right.
And when you see the clear boundaries being respected, when you see the communication being open and free, and you're able to communicate your needs and your expectations, and you're seeing consistency. I'm saying this wherever I go now because I love it. Consistency is the new cheat code. When you can see that in your relationship, you and I'll say this, I don't want to miss this, and seek God for when, for the release. God, is it now time? Is he the one? Is she the one that I'm supposed to share my heart with?
That was it.
Is she the one that I'm supposed to share my heart? As a matter of fact, I'm thinking back. That was my prayer for you. That was my prayer for you. When I recognized this could be somebody I could spend the rest of my life with, I said, God, knit our hearts together. Let us grow in love with each other and with you. I said, if not, remove her yesterday. But my thing was knit our hearts together.
Yeah.
God, is this the person I'm supposed to share my heart with? Mm-hmm. How do I know when? How do we know when to be vulnerable?
Because up until that point, it's okay for you to guard your heart with all diligence.
Yes.
Because out of it flows the issues of life. At what point is it okay for the issues of life to come out of me?
Yes.
So when I'm, you know, just meeting somebody or whatever, yes, I'm going to be a little guarded. I need to be.
You need to be.
Because that's a protection that I have for myself.
What do we call it? We call it courtship.
Yes.
You're looking for evidence within this parameter.
Yeah.
You're looking for evidence. Court being the court of law. You're looking for evidence. Evidence is what moves, what is the currency in that place. I'm looking for evidence. Exhibit A. I'm looking at, you know, is he trustworthy? Mm-hmm. Is she a gold digger? Mm-hmm. Is she, what do they have integrity? Mm-hmm. You need to have your antenna out, your microscope looking for those traits and having, and that's where having a set of I don't want to say boundaries, but having a set of standards. Having standards in place. It got to be more than just how they look.
Because that's not going to be sustained.
It's not going to be sustained. Because fine get wide. Fine get wide.
Don't I know it. Yeah.
Hey, girl, I like what you're doing.
Okay,
like
what you know
like
what?
What you're doing over there, girl. I like what you're doing over there, girl.
Stop. But you know what's true about what you're saying is how important that is in dating. But at some point, as you transition into something more serious and you see yourself being with this person for life, and then you get married, now the exposure or the vulnerability needs to increase.
Yeah.
Because we can't stay in that fact-finding stage, and we're 5 years into this.
Yeah, yeah. At some point, I've seen enough to share my heart.
Right. Now, we may evolve, and I learn more about you as we evolve because we're not the same people we were at 23, at 51.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm learning more about who you are as a person and what your outlook on life becomes as we age.
There is a quota for that release of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You do reach that at some point. Knowing when, make sure that the boundaries are set. That they're clear. Make sure that there's open communication about your needs and your expectations.
Yeah.
And make sure you bathe all of that in prayer. God, is this person?
Right.
Is this the person that you have? My brothers and I, is that my rib?
Yeah.
Because Eve was taken from Adam's side, one of his ribs. And we would say, I think I found my rib. I think I found, like it's a homing beacon. Beep, 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 beep. I think I found my rib. I think I found my rib. So, God, is this the person? Is this the person? And that's when vulnerability is you're good to share. You're good to reveal. And even then, you give it out a piece at a time.
Yeah.
Give it out a little bit at a time. Don't choke them. Don't choke them.
Because we're not trying to run them away from the jump.
You're not trying to run them away. No, no. But you shows like that Pop the Bubble, they undercut and they diminish the hard work that it takes to build relationship. It really does. It really does. And so as we come to the close of this podcast, we want you to remember that the journey of dating and vulnerability is about more than just finding a partner.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just trying to share enough to find a partner. It's about cultivating relationships that reflect our deepest values and honor God and each other.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of it. That vulnerability, you sharing a little piece of yourself, your intimacy, is to find out, is this the person who can go with me to the next level?
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. It's important. Mm-hmm. But that's going to do it for us today. That's going to do it for us for this episode. Do not forget to subscribe, leave a review, share this podcast with those that you think could benefit from it. We look forward to continuing our conversation with you and invite you to connect with us on social media or through through email at writingwiththeradfords@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Share your thoughts and experiences as we explore the issues that complicate covenant together.
Yes.
We're going to work it out, y'all. We're going to work it out. Thank you for tuning in to the Writing with the Radfords podcast. Until next time, keep nurturing connections that honor the depth of your faith and the breadth of your humanity.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you later.
Peace.